Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. When you die, how do you want to be remembered? When you leave this life, how do you want people to remember you? Better yet, how would you want God to remember you? We're all in the process of writing a story. The story of how we use our time, our energies, and our efforts. We leave a legacy of family, relationships that we've had with children, grandchildren, parents, brothers and sisters, spouse. We write a story of who and what we are. And I know some of us would like to, we would like to look back on our lives and we would like to say, I've lived it well. But what does that mean? Some would like to say, I've been comfortable and I've had all of my needs met. I have not really aspired to do great and outstanding things, but I have certainly accomplished a number of things that I'm satisfied with. All of us would like to say that when we approach the end of life's road and we look back and reflect on how we've lived our lives, we would like to be well thought of. We would like for folks to think of us in a good light. But what does God think? What epitaph would He write on your headstone? It is considered the best love passage in the Old Testament and probably in all of the Bible. We quote it in times of trouble. We recite it at the memorial services of saints who've gone on to be with the Lord. We reflect on it when times are tough, when we're at the end of our rope, when life hits a brick wall. The 23rd hymn of the Hebrew hymnal is a masterpiece of poetic literature. It is fraught with images that are serene and pastoral and timeless. It evokes a mood of meditative serenity and dependence upon the Lord who is the shepherd of His people. The 23rd Psalm is an intensely personal hymn that's sung by the greatest and the humblest of the kings that God put on the throne of Israel. And written by a king who knew what it was to be a shepherd. The 23rd Psalm was not composed in the days of David's youth, when he was out there in the fields of his father tending the sheep. Rather, it was composed and it was sung in the twilight of his years, as he looked back on his relationship with the Lord, as he reflected upon his walk with God, as he reviewed once again the good times and the bad times, as he considered all that he had gone through, all that he'd experienced. In his old age, as the memories began to flood his soul, he composed this song. And in it we find that David considers that his life, from his earliest remembrances as a shepherd boy, and on through his exaltation as king over all of Israel, the valleys of the shadows of sin, and the blessedness of God's forgiveness, and then through the remaining years of his preparation for death, he looks back upon his life. And in this psalm he says his life was a blessed life. From his youth as a shepherd boy in the fields of Bethlehem, to the battlefields of Ephes Damim, to the courts of the king in Jerusalem, David was one who truly loved the Lord with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his might, with all of his strength, with all of his soul and spirit. As a fugitive in the wilderness of Judah, hiding out in the rocky crags and the caves and the wadis, eluding King Saul, who had gone mad with murderous jealousy and envy, David trusted in the Lord and depended on the Lord to keep his covenant promise to sustain him and his life until he had the opportunity to become king, as God had promised he would. And then as the great king over God's people, as the champion over the armies of Israel, and as the minister of worship to the Hebrew people, an ambassador of the Lord Most High to the nations of Canaan, David walked with the Lord in sweet fellowship, courage, and strength. In the days of his sin, when his heart was adulterous and his hands murderous, his spirit ached for the refreshing of God's Spirit, the renewing of his soul with God's mercy and with God's grace. He cried out for the God of his youth, the friend who had been like no other friend to him. And he found in those days that were so dark with guilt and with shame, he found that the Lord was gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love and forgiveness. And now, as his life draws to a close, as he nears the end of his days, David realizes the sting of sin as it takes those sons whose lives were ruined as a result of his indulgences and pride and excesses. And yet he cries out to the Lord and finds him faithful to the covenant promises given to him so many, many years before. Promises that could never be broken by sin, could never be set aside by his worldliness. Promises that would be honored by the Lord God, who loved him and regarded him as the apple of his eye. As David reflects back on his life of fortune and failure, of success and sorrow, he composed and he sang this hymn to the great shepherd, the captain of his faith, the keeper of his life, the lover of his soul. For you see, David learned the hard way, like so many of us are prone to do. He learned that life is not about you or me. It's all about the Lord. Whatever we make of life, whatever life may mean to each and every one of us, and whatever course of life we take, whatever venture we engage in, whatever goals we set for ourselves, whatever energies and resources we put forth to live our lives, we have to come to the place where we understand and we realize that life is not about us. It's not about me. It's about the Lord. Success doesn't come to us in the kingdom of God. It doesn't come to us because of our ability and because of our strength or our wisdom or who or what we are. Success comes because of who the Lord is. Blessings are not ours because we earn them or deserve them or manipulate things to obtain them. The rich blessings of life come from a heart that's fixed on the God of our salvation, the shepherd of our lives. David had to learn this. You and I have to learn this. It's a lesson that's not easily learned, but it is a lesson that is most important for us to learn. For without it, we would be miserable failures all the days of our life. I want us to read together the 23rd Psalm. And as we read it, it'll be up on the screen. As we read it, I want you to focus in on the attitude. The attitude that King David has as he sings this ode to the great shepherd. And then I want us to listen as we read another man's assessment of life. And I want us to compare the two with each other. And I want us to see the contrast between a father's assessment of his life with the Lord and his son's assessment of his own life without the Lord. Psalm 23, let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you hear his heart for the Lord? Do you understand his attitude? Now again, remember, this song was written at the end of his days, as an old man looking back upon his life. And he exalts the Lord, he magnifies the Lord, he glories in the Lord as his great shepherd. And I know that sometimes you and I struggle with these kinds of things in our own life because we don't have time. I mean, we're very busy people. But I remind you, dear friends, David was king over Israel. He was a very busy man also. He had a family that he had to take care of. He had a kingdom that he had to rule. And yet, David's life, and again, he had problems, yes, no doubting that. But the tenor of his life was that he was firmly fixed on the Lord God. His faith remained in the God of his salvation. Despite the hectic schedules, despite all of the appointments that he had to take care of, despite all of the administrative functions that he had to perform, despite everything that he was about as the king of Israel, he was still a man after God's own heart. There is no excuse, dear friends, for us to say, I am so busy that I don't have time for the Lord. We have time to spend on whatever it is we desire to spend it on. David looks back over his life and he says, my life has been blessed. because the Lord God has been the shepherd of my life. But now I want you to listen to his son Solomon. And I want you to notice the focus of his life, and I want you to notice his assessment of the life that he lived. And again, Solomon writes his assessment at the end of his days. Solomon has succeeded David as king over Israel. He's been a very busy man also. But Solomon far exceeded the wealth of his father insofar as physical resources are concerned. Solomon was far wealthier than David ever dreamed of being. Solomon was far more popular as a king in Israel than David ever was as king in Israel. The fame of Solomon went to the far corners of the earth. Rulers from distant countries came to see Solomon. Solomon had more resources, more than he ever had time to spend messing around with. The Bible says that Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. But I want you to listen to his testimony. I want you to listen to the concluding chapter of his life. It's found in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 1 through 23. I'm going to read it out of the Contemporary English Version so you'll understand just exactly what Solomon is saying. Solomon writes, "I said to myself, 'Have fun and enjoy yourself.' But this didn't make sense. Laughing and having fun is crazy. What good does it do? I wanted to find out what was best for us during the short time that we have on the earth. So I decided to make myself happy with wine and find out what it means to be foolish without really being foolish myself. I did some great things. I built houses and planted vineyards. I had flower gardens and orchards full of fruit trees. And I had pools where I could get water for the trees. I owned slaves, and their sons and daughters became my slaves. I had more sheep and goats than anyone who had ever lived in Jerusalem. Foreign rulers brought me silver, gold, and precious treasures. Men and women sang for me, and I had many wives who gave me great pleasure. I was the most famous person who had ever lived in Jerusalem, and I was very wise. I got whatever I wanted and did whatever made me happy. But most of all, I enjoyed my work. Then I thought about everything that I had done, including the hard work, and it was simply chasing the wind. Nothing on earth is worth the trouble. I asked myself, what can the next king do that I haven't done already? Then I decided to compare wisdom with foolishness and stupidity. And I discovered that wisdom is better than foolishness, just as light is better than darkness. Wisdom is like having two good eyes, but foolishness leaves you in the dark. But wise or foolish, we all end up the same. Finally, I said to myself, being wise got me nowhere. The same thing will happen to me that happens to fools. Nothing makes sense. Wise or foolish, we all die and we're soon forgotten. This made me hate life. Everything we do is painful. It's just as senseless as chasing the wind. Suddenly I realized that others would someday get everything that I had worked for so hard. Then I started hating it all. Who knows if those people will be sensible or stupid? Either way, they'll own everything that I've earned by hard work and wisdom. It doesn't make any sense. I thought about all of my hard work and I felt depressed. When we use our wisdom, knowledge, and skill to get what we own, why do we have to leave it to someone who didn't work for it? This is senseless and it's wrong. What do we really gain from all of our hard work? Our bodies ache during the day, and work is torture. Then at night our thoughts are troubled. It just doesn't make sense. You see the difference between the two? David's life was a blessed life. despite its sufferings and its sins and its sorrows, because David's heart was fixed upon the Lord, his shepherd. Solomon, on the other hand, his life was an empty life. Even though he had everything that he desired, everything that he ever wanted, it was empty. Because Solomon's life was focused on himself and not on God. It is difficult, dear friends. It is difficult in the days in which we live to keep our focus on the Lord. With everything that we face, with everything that we go through, with everything that tempts us and tries us, with all of the pressures of family life and vocational life, professional life, with everything that we have to face in our society, with all of the questions that remain unanswered, with all of the fear and the doubt and with all of the suspicion and everything else that goes on, with the hatred and the bitterness that we face in this life, it makes it very difficult to live a life that's pleasant, a life that is satisfying, a life that has peace and strength to it. But it is no more difficult for us to live today than it was for David to live in his day. Certainly no more difficult than it was for us today, that it is for us today than it was for Solomon in his day. The difference is that David's life was focused on the Lord and Solomon's was not. You can have everything, you can be like Solomon, you can have everything that your heart's desire and still have an empty life. And that life will be empty because it's not focused on, it's not fixed on the great shepherd. I encourage us, dear friends, in the days that we're living in that's so uncertain, with all of the stuff that's going on, politically, economically, racially, with everything that's going on, not only in the national level, but in the state, with all the problems that we have, with all the concerns and the issues that we face, with all of the burdens and the cares that we have, I encourage you, dear friends, no matter what it is that we're facing, no matter what it is that you're facing, keep your focus on the Lord. Keep your faith firmly fixed in Him. I'm not a prophet, dear friends, but I'm wise enough, I'm smart enough to see that the days for the Christian, the days that are coming for the Christian are dark days. This nation is quickly and effectively removing Christ out of our culture. Satan is hard at work to silence the church and to weaken the Christian testimony to the extent that it will no longer be credible in our society. And the days that you and I will be facing, and they're not far off, the days that you and I are facing will be treacherous times, dangerous times, maybe even fatal times in this country that we live in. But no matter what those days are, and no matter what those days may bring to us, we keep our faith in the Lord. We keep our focus on the great shepherd. David's life was a blessed life. Is your life a blessed life? Some of you are not very old. But if you look back upon the life that you've lived thus far, can you honestly say that your life is a blessed life? Or is your life empty? Empty of meaning, empty of purpose, empty of peace? Are you satisfied in your spirit and in your soul with the life that you have lived thus far? Are you like David? Can you look back upon the days of your life and be satisfied? Or are you like Solomon? Your life is empty. And you do all that you can to fill it up with things that never last. Things that will never satisfy. Things that will never quench the hunger and the longing of the soul. It is as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And that's where many of us are today. We will be like Solomon, and we will spend our wisdom, and we will spend our wealth. We will spend our time, and we will spend our energy to accumulate all of the things that will somehow, some way gratify the flesh in us, only to die and leave it to somebody else. And what does it profit you? If you cannot accumulate for yourselves those things that translate from this life over into the next, Jesus said that we should be laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven and not treasures on earth. So what does it profit a man if he spends his life gaining the world only to lose his soul in the end? Solomon experienced that bitter epitaph. But David could look back on his life and say, Lord God, it has been a blessed life. Pray with me. Father in heaven, there are those of us here this morning who can honestly say, yes, I can look back and reflect upon the days of my life and I can say they have been blessed. They have been blessed with strength in times of weakness. They have been blessed with peace in times of anxiety. I have been blessed with resources from on high that have carried me through the lean times. And I have been blessed with joy in the times of plenty. My life has been a blessed life because it has been filled with good things that have come from the hand of the Lord. But there are others among us, Lord, who cannot say that. Their testimony is a testimony of emptiness and aimless wandering, of incessant questioning as to what is the meaning of life? Why am I here? And what is it I'm supposed to be about? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to live? And what is the purpose in all of this? Father, I pray that you will help us to understand that the key to having a life that is blessed is to have a shepherd who leads us through this life. And you, Father, are that great shepherd. Without you, Lord God, we have nothing. Nothing that we can possess, nothing that we can rejoice in, nothing that we can claim, nothing, Lord God, that we can satisfy. But with you, we can enjoy a life that is richly blessed. There may be one here today, Father, who doesn't know you as the great shepherd of their life. Father, the longing of their soul is to live a life that is worthwhile, a life that has direction to it, a life that has meaning and purpose behind it. A life that will give them something to look back on and be satisfied with. I pray that that soul today will consider you as their great shepherd. And that they will surrender their life to you even now and say, Father, through your Son Jesus Christ, be my great shepherd. Give me a life that's worth living. Father, there may be brothers and sisters here today who've already claimed the name of Jesus Christ, but they're not walking with you. Like some sheep, they stray away from the sheepfold. They get off into areas that are dangerous and even fatal. Father, they leave the safety of the sheepcote. They leave the security of the shepherd, and they wander off into dens filled with wolves that will tear them apart. Father, I pray that they will hear the voice of the shepherd as you call, and they will return and come back. And find, Lord God, that you are willing to invite them once again back into the sheepcote of safety. And there, Father, they can take their place again to serve you as you've desired and as you've saved them to do. As we venture through this beautiful song, I pray, Lord God, that this song will be ours, that we can sing it to you as David sang it to you, that we can, with our whole heart, offer it up as a sacrifice of praise to you, who has become our great shepherd. And that all of us here can sing it together, not one soul missing. All of us can sing it together as an ode of praise to the God of our salvation. Father, I pray that whatever desire may be in the soul here today, that you will meet that desire through your Holy Spirit. That, Father, you will draw that individual to you, whom to know is life everlasting. These things I ask in your holy name. Amen and amen. Stand with me if you will. David is going to lead us in a time of invitation, a time of decision. And it's simply it's just a simple question I want to ask you, dear friend. As you reflect on your life, is it a blessed life or is it an empty life? If it is an empty life, dear friends, all that can change if you'll simply look to the Savior and claim Him as your great shepherd, the one that you will follow for the rest of your days, the one who will bring good things into your life as He brought good things into the life of David and others who followed after Him. The Lord has provided a means whereby your life can be blessed. But it's your decision. You have to make the decision to claim Christ as the Savior and Lord of your life. You have to willfully put yourself in a position where God can lead you. He's not going to force Himself upon you, nor will He force you to do anything you're not willing to do. David yielded to the Lord, and his life was blessed. You yield to the Lord, and likewise your life will be blessed. But it's your decision. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, I invite you to come and put your faith and trust in Him. Claim Him now as the Lord of your life and the Savior of your soul, and begin to live a life that's filled with joy and with peace, with strength, with understanding, with wisdom and knowledge, a life that's filled with meaning and purpose in the kingdom of God. And Christian friend, if you're not walking with the Lord, if you've strayed away from the shepherd of your salvation, then be reminded, dear friend, that you're walking in dangerous territory. You're walking in the land of wolves, and those wolves delight in nothing more than to take your life and tear it apart and ruin you and destroy you, just like wolves will do to sheep that are unattended. Come back to the Lord. Get back into the sheepfold where you belong. Follow the Savior as the shepherd of your life, and allow Him to lead you into a life that is truly blessed. But whatever your heart's desire is, dear friends, you come as the Lord moves upon you to do so, as David leads us and as we sing. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on Him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to Him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.